Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mariam Zamani, and I'm an oculoplastic surgeon with a special interest in facial aesthetics and also the founder of MZ Skin. And this is the Guinea Pig Podcast. Why are we called the Guinea Pig?
Because that's what I am. I'm writer and journalist Fiona Golfar, and I'm here, ready and willing, to try out just about any treatment and treatment going. We are the breath that you take before trying anything out there. So, if you're looking for an honest, no-holds-barred approach to invasive and non-invasive cosmetic surgery,
then come join us from the clinic every Thursday on the Guinea Pig Podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back. We're here in the clinic.
Hi, it's nice to be here, Mariam. You look well.
Thanks, Fee. So do you.
Just being nice. Not. No, you do look well. Your skin's all glowy. And
thank you.
You look very nice and pretty today. Very relaxed. But I thought it would be interesting to revisit a few things that we've talked about over the last few months, because I think it's always really interesting to see, you know, you do a treatment and I rave about it and I'm very excited about anything that I try generally. And everything's the holy grail. Everything's going to be the one that really works. And particularly for me, the episode about incontinence, I thought it'd be quite interesting to talk about how long that's lasted and whether it's really worked and what results I've had.
When did you do it again, Fee? I forgot.
I did it about 6 months ago. And
so how's it holding up? Obviously not
holding
so
up is not the word.
Oh no, no pun intended.
I would not use the word holding up. I would use the word holding in. Not great, which is quite interesting, because if you remember, I went to see the lovely Tania Adib, who I'm about to go and see again, because she gave me a series of radio frequency treatments. She injected PRP into around my urethra. She injected PRP into my clitoris, lest we forget.
Ouch. Right. How was that? That was the cherry on top.
Yes, well, literally, it was the cherry on top. I don't know. I didn't think it was the great I am. You know, I was very happy to test drive it. It was nothing to write home about. Certainly not worth having an injection into your clitoris for. But maybe for some it works. But for me, I didn't get the added bonus. But what I have noticed 6 months down the line is about a month ago, I returned to the old putting the key in the door and finding myself weeing. And I know it's kind of this, and so many women I talk to have this, you know, you think you're all right, you kind of vaguely need to pee, you get home, you put your key in the door, you turn it, you think, I must have a wee, and you're weeing. There is absolutely no breath between the thought and the deed. I kind of noticed that was beginning to start again, this kind of urgency to pee and not being able to control it. And I did the M-cell chair. I've had, you know, my
You've done quite floor. A lot. You've done quite a lot for that.
It's very, very expensive. Listen, it's an incredibly expensive, and it's supposed to last for a year.
So basically now 6 months down, is it just urgency now, or do you feel like you're really back to where you
started?
No,
I think I'm almost back to where I started. So I don't know whether words like lax would still be appropriate if she was to give me an internal examination about the sort of the muscle, the vaginal muscle, because that's what radio frequency is supposed to help stimulate all of that. But definitely the urge to pee and the control of it has really diminished, the control. And it's kind of upsetting. You know, it's like, we joke about, there's a thing called a shiwi. Have you heard about it?
No, what's
okay,
that?
Well, you will. never say never. A shiwi is kind of like a condom, I think. I haven't actually ever used one.
Oh, I think I've seen it's like a little cup.
Yes, it's like a little cup and it fills up and then it kind of spills out the side. And I am not ready to be the woman with a shiwi, and nor am I ready to be the woman in, you know, support knickers with pads. I just can't bear it.
No, but you know, actually, not that this is, I haven't seen that. I've seen advertisements for them, but the similar type of underwear that have been created for menstrual cycle, essentially. So instead of using disposables that you need to get rid of. Oh my God, no, Fia's like shaking her head. You can't see her.
That is not happening.
I know.
But a lot of older women who I see since we did that episode and since I wrote about it for the Sunday Times, I think. A lot of people say, oh my God, what can I do? Women in their 80s and 70s and 80s. And I say not much, actually, because it's really, really hard to get your muscles kind of reactivated. And every time I try to do a pelvic floor, I go cross-eyed. I don't know if it happens to anybody else, but I'm so busy thinking about it. I kind of do weird things with my eyes as I'm doing a pelvic floor as we speak. But it kind of gets, you know, I'm not brilliant at pelvic floors. I bet you do about 10,000 a day.
I don't do any, actually. I was thinking, though, I don't think I've ever done them. Fortunately, don't have this problem. I did not have natural childbirth for either one of my two children, so perhaps that had something to do with it. And I'm also 10 years younger than you, so perhaps that's something I have to look forward to. But I will say that at Lanzerhof, when I went there, they did discuss the fact that there is gut health associated with that, and that the laxity of the motility of the gut and also then of the urethra and that area in general is affected by your gut health. And so they really, FX Meyer puts everything, almost all ailments in the body stem from somewhere in the gut. And that's why they have their cure mechanism, or, you know, when they do their different kinds of fasts. So there's medicine as we know it, as in you go to a urologist, you get a diagnosis, and then we try to do either surgical or less invasive types of treatments, or we advise on the things that you can just do, like, you know, the lovely, you know, knickers and things like that.
I had the mesh put in. Do you remember? Years ago, I had the mesh put in. So I think I've always had a kind of predisposition to have a weak pelvic floor or bladder or all of these things. It's interesting what you say about the gut, because I've just been to see a really wonderful nutritionist who's going to come and talk to us on the show about gut health. And she took some hair samples and sent them off. And historically, I've had a few of those sort of tests done. I've done hair samples, poo samples, you name it, samples. Yeah,
hair samples.
My poo's gone all over the world. Oh, my poo's quite well known in America. but I did these hair samples, and I was showing my daughter Molly the results, which a lot of it is in that kind of speak that you don't understand. And when Petronella comes on, she'll explain more to us. But there is something which is a bacterial flora, which is called Akkermansia, AkkerManSia.
Okay, anyone never heard
wants
of that
to
one.
Check it out. And mine is low to undetectable, obviously. And it says this is a super friendly microbe which is associated with overall health and lean body type. Three words that never get applied to me. and then it says, it nibbles away at the lining of the gut and makes the gut lining stronger and more resilient, but it's only active when we're fasting. Low levels are associated with obesity and metabolic dysfunction. That would be me.
You're neither of those things.
Akkermansia by increasing it. The way to increase it, I think is what she's trying to say in English, is by increasing vegetables in the diet and by intermittent fasting. Who knew? So, but it's interesting that I am.
But you eat a lot of vegetables, no?
I have quite a healthy diet, actually.
Yes.
But I am predisposed, and I've done more DNA tests than you can shake a stick at, because I wrote a big piece for Vogue years ago about DNA, and I have the propensity, I have the gene for obesity. I do, quite strongly. And, you know, my mother probably died of obesity, and my brother is probably not listening, which is just as well, but he's also incredibly large, my brother. And genetically, we are a very, you know, we're Polish potato pickers. What can I tell you? But, you know.
But I wouldn't consider you any of those.
Because, as
scenarios.
You know, I'm never not trying to control my food and my health in some way. I mean, in a kind of quite lazy layperson way, but
Not really. I think it's all a matter of you have the exposure to all these great possible treatments, and your education on the matter is perhaps higher than the normal average Joe walking the street. And therefore, just because you have more awareness of it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know.
But I would put good money, Mariam, that if you and I ate the same food for a week, on some kind, you would probably shed. I just think it's a genetic thing. I eat something and my body thinks, oh, stay with me, I'll just pop you on my thigh, you know.
No,
that's the way my body's always been. It holds on to weight.
I think that, yes, there are people who are more prone to holding on to weight, but I also think that I, for instance, am very in tune with my body in terms of when I'm hungry, I eat. When I'm not hungry, I might snack. I won't lie. Like, I love sugar, and I'm trying desperately not to have so much sugar at all in my diet. But I will say that over time, the more education you have and the more your taste buds adapt to those types of foods, then things change. But I will say that I, for instance, go on a vegan diet and I gain weight. I am that person who gains weight.
Quite a lot of people,
and I'm fatigued. And I'm fatigued beyond, because I need animal protein, because I do not know how to regulate my body with non-animal protein, if that makes sense. So
we talked about this in the last episode.
But I think for instance, for you, you know, maybe you're not so in tune and what works best for your body.
Let's see what Petronella has to say. I'm excited to hear my results, because they go on and on. And the really good news is that I'm gluten intolerant. I always want to smack people who are gluten intolerant. And there I am. So you are one
of those people?
I'm very intolerant of intolerances. So even when my daughter, who is completely, she only has to brush past something that's got milk in it and, you know, she looks like she's got eczema. But it took me a really long time. Yeah, I'm very intolerant of lots of things.
Stigmas. But But
gluten came back very strongly.
Really?
For me. It doesn't surprise me, because if I do eat all that stuff, pasta and all the things I really like, I get a terrible stomachache and it lasts for hours.
But see, there you go. You know what works.
It's just my brain's like, absolutely not. We're not giving up pasta. So I'm going back to see Tanya to see if we can kind of revisit the wee problem, because I do think, if anybody, I'm going to be the pioneer and
the spokesperson
for Wee Wee. I think I've gone so far down the line, I've shamed myself in front of just about everybody on the planet, and I'm going to do that. That's going to be a big thing, and I'm going to get my gut in order. So I think that's going to be my kind of spring project. I don't think these things happen overnight.
I think it's a long term, but I do think that sometimes with like the pelvic floor, you know, having radio frequency, it makes sense that it only works for a little bit of time, because it only works so long as the treatment is working. And I don't know if you remember, but she said this will continue to work for 6 months and then it should last thereafter. Mm. So radio frequency, just in general, for when I do it on the face, or we say that it lasts for about a year, but it's actually working for those first 6 months, building new collagen and strengthening that bond. And so I do think it's interesting that once it stopped working, you immediately sort of
notice that.
And that's actually one of the reasons why I don't always love radio frequency. Like, people love radio frequency on the face because it actually feels good for the most part, unless it's combined with another modality. But I don't really use it so much, because I find it's just an expensive treatment that needs to be done so many times to maintain that sort of result, which is unfortunate. So I guess for the body, it could be that way too. I'll be interested to see what Tanya has to say afterwards.
There's something else I wanted to ask you about, actually. So happy to be in a doctor's office. That a friend of mine...
I don't do toes, no.
A friend of mine...
It's always a friend.
...was suggested that she should try something called Pixel Q switch laser treatment. What's that?
You've done that with me.
Mm-hmm. Does it hurt? Did I like it?
It hurts a little bit. It's basically, there are different kinds. It's using an erbium laser to create a grid-like pattern on the face, neck, décolletage, anywhere really. It can be used in varying strengths, and it could be either fractional, which means only part of the skin is treated, or it can be completely ablative. And it's a way to help stimulate collagen production, help decrease pigmentation, and just increase cell turnover. So it's just a nice pick-me-up sort of type of treatment. There is downtime with it. It can be anywhere from 3 days to 2 weeks, depending on how strong of a treatment
is. Oh, is that what we did? Did I peel?
You did.
I peel?
You didn't peel, but you were very red. And we did a light one. It was just like a refresh. I like it for the refresh.
She was told she needed a kind of doctor's letter to say that she was, you know, okay to have it. Is that common? That kind of question? Do you need to get cleared with your doctor?
Unless you're taking unusual medication or perhaps have some equipment, like, you know, even with a pacemaker, you could do that treatment. Nothing that I can think of, no, other than medication. It's just nice to know what medication.
So you would freeze the face first. You put numbing cream and then...
You can put numbing cream or I actually do most of them with nothing.
Okay, so it's not a terribly painful...
It's uncomfortable. It depends on how high...
See, I have no memory. It's like childbirth. Every beauty treatment I have...
So I've tried it myself. I did it when I was 40 and I'd love to do it again. I can't do it on myself. And so it's very difficult. I can always do it on you. Do you want to try it now?
Yeah, yes.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
But you know, your skin is looking really good. But I think that's also because of the diet detox that you've been doing.
I think the detox. And I do notice a kind of glossiness when I am.
And you're not as pink.
Guess what I've been doing?
What?
Twice a day. I've been cleaning my face.
No way. I didn't think it would happen. That's why I didn't understand. She was like, you know, touching her face.
I cleanse with you in the morning.
I love
because
you.
Because I feel that we need... You need my
Rinna. Yes. Thing. Okay. Thank you.
And then I cleanse with this kind of clay evening cleanser situation from Decree.
So that could be the whole change in your...
And then I've been using my once a week...
Peels.
It's a whole new me. Any minute
you know
now,
what? I'm so happy.
Legs.
I'm just so happy that you are venturing out and trying
slowly,
new things.
Slowly, slowly catching monkey, Mariam. slowly catching monkey.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's true, actually. It is true about slowly catching monkey because I'm much older than you. I'm like in my late 50s and I feel like I know what I know or I do what I do. And it's very hard to change habits.
It is.
You know, it's like really hard to change food habits. It's really hard to change your beauty habits. So it was really exciting having Celia come in.
Absolutely.
And show me kind of like what the trends in makeup are, because even though I was a makeup artist, I kind of always felt like I knew best. Well, I always feel like I know best. But
don't you know best, Fee?
No, I kind of know best. My mother used to say there's my way and the wrong way, and I kind of feel that I have inherited that from her. But it was really interesting to learn, because makeup, when I first started making it, was so kind of one way of doing it, and so I kind of stuck with my habit. So it was really, I love the way that Celia taught us how to do glowy, dewy.
Things change too. Makeup's changed so much.
Yeah,
even how to apply it.
Yeah,
I'm branching out in the makeup world too.
Are you?
I am.
What are you doing? You're doing a hyaluronic tinted moisturizer.
Yes. Well, I'm doing that for my skincare. I am.
Yeah,
how did you know that?
Yeah, because...
You're good like that.
Aren't I?
It's coming out, actually,
I'm like a marketing
imminently.
Genius.
I really am going back to the no makeup sort of look. I feel like since I came back cleanse and I tried to maintain like this, a similar type of diet for an extended period of time, I feel that... I have less swelling in my face. I just feel like I'm just not holding fluid the same way. And I never thought I was a fluidy person, to be fair. So that's something that I saw that was different. And so my makeup, because I feel like can again, has really just to pop the eyes or do something. So
it's very glowy, your makeup.
Thank you.
You were obviously watching Celia last week.
I have all her new tricks up my sleeve.
Yes.
So, and I'm also using a new eyelash grower that we're going to come out with. So I'm really excited about that.
Oh, I love
eyelash
grower.
Can you tell that my eyelashes are longer?
They look very pretty, your eyelashes. But I used to have to buy it like sorry, that's not assuming that I did ever buy drugs, but I used to have to buy it like drugs in New York, eyelash grower, because you couldn't buy it.
Back then it was very difficult.
So we used to go to this place on Lexington, New York, and like, have you got any?
Oh my God.
Like, give it to you under the counter. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I'm obsessed by it, especially as I did quite a lot of those, having those individual lashes put in. And when you do it for about 6 months, anybody who's doing those individual lashes, which I love.
I do too. It's
really love it. But I mean, after a while, it is addictive and it can look quite funny because so many of my friends who have them have had them in for about 2 weeks and you suddenly see like lash.
A random.
Yes, kind of gap. But it killed my eyelashes.
Did it?
When I took them all off at the end, I had very, 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 very sparse eyelashes. Yeah.
Well, so, they're not sparse now, but you never wear mascara. I never seen you with really mascara on, but you have very light lashes and brows because you're a blondie.
I have like translucent lashes and brows. So I have to tint my lashes once a week. It's a nightmare. And I do my brows at home. What are the kind of three like must do's to get ready for summer? Like so that my skin, instead of being kind of like a dry, flaky snake, which it is at the moment, hasn't
it's
seen
not that at all.
How can I get my whole body kind of summer ready?
So I always think, you know, this time of year, I always do for myself, I've been lasered my whole body for hair removal. So I always do like a little touch up.
Do you
around
laser
this
yourself?
Time. I do on occasion. Sometimes I go to one of the girls downstairs, but I do like, you know, like a little tiny clean up around this time of year. Because
so you
I
get
just
into
think
that
it's
bikini cleanse, underarm, not cleanse, that bikini laser.
Yes, I do. Yes.
And you laser your legs?
I don't really have, like I might have one or two odd hairs, but I don't really have anything. So I just do a quick laser. I think this is the perfect time of year to do it mm-hmm. before you have exposure to the sun. Hopefully you've already been doing it for, you know, a couple weeks beforehand because it's not one treatment. For someone like myself who doesn't have much to do, like having one is enough to last me another year.
Do you think it's still really tough on blondes? Because I've always had problem with lasering because I've got such blonde hair. What else would you do if
you're
blonde?
You know what I was always wondering and I never found the answer to, but if there's anybody out there who knows the answer, I'd be very interested. I always wondered, why can't you tint the hair like so that it's darker for
your pubic hair?
Well,
I did,
you know,
I tinted it. Hello, obviously, yes. Way before I was a guinea pig. I did,
really?
Yes,
you made it what color?
Yeah, I made it kind of like brown. I mean, I am fair, I'm like Scandi fair down there,
oh, wow.
And up here, and everywhere, really. So, eyebrows, eyelashes.
So this brown hair on your head, this is not natural.
Well, actually, it's not brown, thank you. But if you looked, because it's got bleach, but actually, it's like a dark blonde. The hair on my head.
Okay,
is blonde.
So that dark blonde is that
yeah,
your natural
that's
hair?
My natural
okay,
color.
That's what
but
I thought.
If you look at my arms, spot
I don't.
The
well,
hair.
I don't.
They're
I don't.
So
there, there's no hair to
right,
spot.
But there is well somewhere. There is hair. There was. There is. I have very little hair.
So I. And but anyway, I always wondered yeah. why you can't just slightly give it a tint, and okay. then it would be picked up by the laser. Mm. So I'm not quite sure why that
oh,
rationale
picked up
is
by the laser.
Because the reason, yeah. So the discrepancy is that the laser is absorbed by the pigmentation in the hair, and then goes down into the hair shaft, and that's where its magic works. So I always wondered, you know, because you cut the hair very short, or like you shave just before, but it can still pick up that very
the
small
root.
Amount of pigment. So I always wondered, why couldn't you just have like an immediate pigment, like tint, other than perhaps it might, if it's not done well, you could perhaps burn the skin
I
or something.
I might guinea pig it.
No, well, I'm not going to be the one to do that. I don't know any, but I don't know any doctor who's gonna okay that. But you know, I think it's a good idea. But again,
Dr. Schmuckter, yeah. I'm just going to do it.
You're going to find your laser
I'm
machine.
I'm going to find my laser machine. I'm going to find a black market laserer who can.
Of course, you are on Lex and.
Although years ago I did it just because I was bored of having blonde pubic hair, so I tinted it. I got it tinted.
You had it tinted. Where did you go for that?
Yeah. Well, it was in back in the day, there's a place called Josh Wood Color, Atelier Josh Wood, who I love, absolutely love. They used to have beauty girls, but they don't anymore. They used to have beauty technicians there. And I was like, do you think you can, why can't you tint your pubic hair if you can tint everything else? So we did it, and it's quite nice. I mean, I quite liked it. Nothing.
How embarrassed were you? Or not at all?
How embarrassing is it having a bikini wax? I mean, like, once you've gone down that road, like, once you've...
Bikini wax, you're still
a
wearing
woman
your,
had,
your,
you know,
your
PRP injected into urethra. I'm sorry.
All right, like, well, I mean, I'm still wearing underwear when I have
laser guns.
I
never know how
so.
Those girls who do bikini waxes, presumably, I just don't know how they do it. I mean, that is not, you know, that's not my idea of a great way of spending time. But seeing as they're there... And they tint your eyebrows and they tint the rest of you. Like, I just
yeah,
asked.
Of course.
I said, do you think? And I think she was as curious as I was. So we did it.
Yeah. Lovely.
Yeah, that's what I do with my time, Marianne. Sometimes I think about reading Dickens and then I think, no, I'm just going to get my pubic hair tinted.
You know. Oh my God, I love you, Fee. I can't believe I'm talking about this.
Yeah, stick with me. We can talk about it. Yeah,
obviously.
I'm sure, listen, I'm sure I'm not the only person out there.
No,
I wouldn't mind having different color pubic hair.
Actually, I have to say, a very good friend of mine many years ago, we were at, she had lunch at her house or something, and the conversation went to that it goes white down there too. And I remember being so shocked. As a doctor, I was like mortified.
Isn't that weird? Yeah,
and I was like, why did I not know that? I've actually gone to, you know, I've done anatomy class. I've seen lots of, you know, dead bodies. And, you know, funny thing is, you can't tell oftentimes if it's a man or a woman after you've done that, you know, when you're dissecting. But I never thought about the color of the hair. That was not something that
you need to climb into my brain sometimes. Yeah. It's not always
that
easy.
That was never one of the things that came up. Oh my God. So you asked me what else to do for the skin.
Yeah.
So I also think that in order to prep the skin, not just for the summer, just in general, this is a really good time to, if there's like any sunspots or any pigmentation mm-hmm. on the skin, I think it's a really nice time to have a mole check and, you know, to go to your dermatologist. And if there's anything unusual, to have it checked out. I always think that you should have a biopsy with pretty much anything that you take off your body. I'm just going to give a very faint example. Is I had a patient who came in with what looked like a very normal sebaceous cyst. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to send it for biopsy because I always do. And it came back as a basal cell carcinoma. Yeah. So it was, did not have at all the clinical presentation that I would expect from a skin cancer. And so I think now is a really great time to have your body checked out. But in terms of things that you can do for yourself,
also, before the sun comes out on them, probably,
yeah, of course,
there are some
yes.
things that you should do now so that in 6 weeks or 10 weeks when the sun
well, no, also things get masked a little bit when you're tan. Like if you do have sun exposure and you have a little bit of a tan, then maybe that little mark might not show up or it blends in a little bit more, and then it's another 6 months before you see something. So I think that's really important. But in general, to get summer ready, I think it's all about nutrition. It's about your diet. And then little tweaks that you can do for your skin is to have a nice exfoliation. So it's the same thing that you're doing on your face. To have a nice skin exfoliation, and also to use some brushing to get rid of some of the dead skin and improve circulation in your body, helps movement of lymphatic drainage. So I think all of those types of things, the manipulation of those, you know, of the body parts will help in terms of diminishing the appearance of cellulite. You know, you can't really get rid of cellulite, but you can make it look a little bit better.
There's a great product called Dermalac, which actually is a sort of like, it's like a liquid exfoliant that, actually, I give it to Molly to use because I don't know what, you'll know what it's called. Molly gets those little bumps. I get
keratosis,
them on my hand.
Keratosis, yeah,
in the red, and it really helps take those bumps.
So that, and the best treatment, some of the reasons people get that, I used to get them too, and now I don't, because one, I don't take really hot showers. They can be triggered by that. So it's, and basically over exfoliation can be bad, but you do need to exfoliate. So lactic acids, things that have lactic acid, different kinds of AHAs can help diminish that. And then the problem with very hot, you know, baths and showers is that it exacerbates it, so you're not taking in the hydration. So it's actually using good hydration, not being too aggressive with scrubbing, but using you know, a combination of different acids to actually eat up the little bit of keratin that's sitting up where the hair follicles come out.
Also nice to use
ameliorate,
on the legs and stuff.
Ameliorate is another cream that helps.
Yes,
I think I'm saying that right. I tell my patients that sometimes, even though that's not generally something that I treat, but yes.
And Dermalac, I know it's by Environ. It's a really nice brand. Often when I'm having, well, I've had laser actually under my arms, and that worked on the fair hair. But when I do any lasering, there's a period that you can't go into the sun. You always ask.
Ideally, so. Yes. Ideally, you wouldn't be in the sun. Mainly, it's in case you've had a reaction. It's not really because if you've had, so if you're totally fine and you've had it done and you've gone out like 2 weeks later, you're okay. But we say generally for most people to just stay a month, just in case that something might have been a little bit more aggressive, and then you don't want to create pigmentary problems afterwards. So if you've had a laser and then you've had some, even if it's very mild and you might not see it, and you got into the sun, you could get pigmentation problems later.
And my final question to you, Mariam, I got this from a friend of mine who, I think so, well, I maybe, is that
it's never
in the
ends.
Shows this season in Paris, that for the summer, There was a lot of bare ankle, mules, slip-on mules, backless mules. So I got a message from a friend of mine saying, what can you do with ankles? Is there any way that you can kind of, can you refine an ankle, do you think?
You make it more slender?
Can you make an ankle more slender?
So it depends.
If there is a God, there will be a yes to this question.
It's a difficult question. So, you know, they have that terrible name, cankles, you know, where... You're so funny. Oh, yeah. But sometimes you can do a little bit of liposuction in that area. A lot of doctors won't go through that, but you could. But it's generally very difficult to sort of treat that sort of ankle area. Having said that, I don't love all these mules because I don't think they're good for the position of the foot. Again, I know I keep going back to Lanserhoff, but I realize that my position in my gait and the way that my feet are on the ground and that flats are like really the enemy. And, you know, I'm not a huge fan of those unless you've got good insoles, which I do, by the way, now.
I can just see the new Bottega Veneta mule with its own insole.
But I think they should. But, you know, Birkenstocks have made a huge comeback. Everybody's making like similar.
I live in my Birkenstocks.
I know, so do I. But like those have always been made to be ergonomic. How do you say that?
But my Pilates teacher, this is now beginning to sound a bit wanky, but my Pilates teacher says to me that she hates me wearing Birkenstocks and things.
Why?
I have a weird thing. Well, she says it's bad that my feet kind of roll over and that she wants my feet supported.
So interestingly, again, I'm going back to Lanserhoff since I was obviously very impressionated by it. They were telling me for my feet, now I'm perhaps it's different for everybody else's feet, but for my little feet,
all feet
actually,
equal.
Yeah, I think most feet are created equal to, but it's actually good to walk barefoot, which I never do because of the way that you grip the ground. So socks are not good or like in-house like slippers and things are not good. It's better for your feet to be able to. So that's why they're actually not against this Birkenstocks, because I don't know if you've noticed, but there's like a little bump where your toes go across, and that acts as like your foot grasps that when it's walking, and that's why it's not so bad.
God, I'm loving the idea of seeing you in a Birkenstock, Maria.
You've never seen me one?
No, I've seen you because we both wear trainers a lot.
Yes. I can't wear open toe shoes to work. So that's why, since we're in the clinic, I can't really walk around and have I don't do the clogs. I do regular Birkenstocks. And I'm really upset that I didn't save them, because in high school I was a total deadhead, and I probably had, well, I wasn't a total deadhead because I had like 10 pairs of Birkenstocks, and I guess that goes against the ethos of it, but I had them in every color. I had them in blue and green and burgundy and black.
The sustainables out there will love you if they thought you'd kept them.
I know. I have one pair at my parents' house, and that's about it, but I wish I'd kept them all.
I think we've run out of time, but that was rather a gripping episode, I think. I don't know what we've
learned.
Learning
about my Birkenstocks.
But I'm determined to stop weeing myself by the end of the summer, and I'm going to carry on investigating all the options for those of you out there who are sufferers like I am.
And if, by the way, if any of you guys have a treatment that you have trialed and you're not sure about it, or you want us to trial, please do let us know.
Yeah,
you can always email us on theguineapigpod@gmail.com, or you can always send a message on our Instagram, which is the Guinea Pig Podcast.
DM us. I love a DM. All right, so we're ready to gallop into summer.
We are indeed. I'm always ready for the summertime. I'm a water baby, so yay summer.
Yay summer, me in a bikini.
Thanks, guys. And please also, if you want, write a review on Apple Podcasts, as it really, really helps us in making this. Bye.
The Guinea Pig provides unbiased information to those who may be considering cosmetic surgery or even trialing a non-invasive treatment or product. We do not endorse the use of any product or procedure featured in this podcast and are not responsible for the outcome of any of the treatments featured on this podcast or damage caused in connection with any treatments or products. Should you decide to try any of the procedures, treatments or products mentioned in any episode of The Guinea Pig, you do so at your own risk. Always consult an independent and fully qualified medical professional if you are considering embarking on a medical procedure, irrespective of whether it's an invasive or non-invasive procedure.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.